Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live. I'm Jason Powell, and Toto, we are not in Tokyo anymore. WWE Raw, the first WWE Raw of 2015, was a dud. Wow, I'm just shocked at just at how bad this edition of Raw was tonight. Before we get into that, I do want to give you, wow, a lot of you guys are already on the phone lines, but if you want to join us tonight, 773-897-6321 is the number. I'll be opening up the chat room here, as we like to do on the show for you guys, in just a second. And obviously taking your calls for the next hour. If you are new to the show, we do this Monday nights after WWE Raw during WrestleMania season, perhaps beyond, but this year kind of thinking we'll limit it to that and then work in some special episodes as we move forward past WrestleMania season. There will be some weeks that I have a co-host, some weeks I won't. It's just with the guys now, it's a little bit tougher with some of their work schedules to make it work. Zach Zimmerman, I would have approached him tonight, but he is actually in Tokyo, Japan. He attended the New Japan Pro Wrestling Wrestle Kingdom show, along with like 17 other shows in the 3 weeks that he was there, not even 3 weeks. And so we'll get Zach on the show again real soon, and you guys can ask him questions about that. But I'm wide open as far as discussing Raw, TNA with their big debut coming up on Destination America on Wednesday, certainly New Japan and that Wrestle Kingdom show. Whatever you guys want to chat about in the world of pro wrestling, I am all yours for the next hour. Again, 773-897-6321. Do want to give you guys a warning that even though I'm saying like it's a weekly show, I want to preface this also by saying that if there's like another Vince McMahon interview, something on that level that needs to be covered after WWE Raw goes off the air, if they do something special on the network, that will obviously be a week that I have to skip. So, but you know, we'll just obviously planning now to go on a weekly basis here, and we'll take it from there. Like I say, if something comes up, well, something comes up, and we'll figure out if we'll probably just skip that week altogether. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there. I thought I had the chat room open. Where the hell did it go? Let me see here. Boom! The chat room should be open for you guys. Man, this stuff, I'm still stunned by WWE Raw and just how lousy it really was tonight. We do have a new Intercontinental Champion, same as one of the old Intercontinental Champions, Bad News Barrett, beating Dolph Ziggler to regain that championship. It's a title that he never lost because he was injured and had to drop the title, but he got some help with Kane. This was at... it's not exactly an Empire Strikes Back show because that would imply it's good. Because I use that when the heels have a strong night, I'll compare it to that. The heels had a night. It was heel night with the Authority getting their revenge on various people. But Empire Strikes Back was great, and this was anything but. Instead, it was, I should also add they fired in an angle I don't think anyone in the crowd bought into, believed, cared about. They fired Eric Rowan, Dolph Ziggler, and Ryback at the end of the show, that being the Authority, Triple H, and Stephanie McMahon. And John Cena had to stand there and take this all in. Why all four of them just stood there and let this happen when there was no one between them and Triple H other than Stephanie McMahon, I will never know. And once he fired Dolph Ziggler, Eric Rowan, and whoever the other one was, Ryback, why didn't any of them man up? I mean, at that point, storyline-wise, let's just look at it, suspend the disbelief for a second. They make it impossible to do that, because if you were just fired by this tyrant, wouldn't you just kick his ass at that point? No, not these guys. Not in WWE, where they all the baby faces just stand there and take it. It was the first show of the year. I thought we'd get Randy Orton for sure, because we know he's back. He worked a dark match at last week's show, and he's been on the road at different times now as well. No sign of Randy Orton tonight. I thought, well, with the Authority back, maybe we see Sting. After all, the last time we saw Sting was when the Authority rode off into the sunset, or actually were driven there at Survivor Series. And so it would make sense that even if you don't see him in person, something Jake Barnett Arnett mentioned when we did .NET Weekly together for .NET members last week. Well, maybe there's some kind of clues. Well, Jake mentioned graffiti, just something that would get people thinking, oh man, Sting's going to be here one of these weeks. Get people watching. Instead, they give you this depressing rerun of a show with all the nonsense from the Authority and then give you no hope heading into next week, and they're going against the national championship game. Not the way to open a year for WWE Raw. Last week's show was much better, but problem was they didn't bother to tell anyone it wasn't going to be a holiday show. Granted, the year before wasn't, and it did like 4.1 million viewers, but people just aren't buzzing about this product right now, and I just think there was a lot of confusion last week as to, is this another crappy holiday theme? What are they going for here? I'm speechless, guys. Well, as much as I can on live radio. But again, every Monday night is the plan for now. ProWrestling.net Live, we are back. It's good to be here. I really appreciate all of you who are lined up in the phone banks. One more time, the number is 773-897-6321, and we are going to start with your calls now. Let's open things up with 630, if I can get the phone line to work. It's been a while. You're going to have to forgive me. I'm a little rusty with this. 630, who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, how you doing? It's Craig in Chicago.
Hey, Craig in Chicago. What's going on tonight?
You know, I don't even know if I can laugh about this, really. This is horrible. This is worse than WCW's Dying Days. This is worse than anything I've ever seen on Impact. That's saying a lot. It's almost like they don't care. They have money rolling in right now. That money train will dry up. The way things are going, I would not be shocked whatsoever. If you look down the road 5-10 years, and they're filing bankruptcy, I can see this whole professional wrestling genre just going the way roller derby did with shows like this tonight. I mean, I've already canceled the network because I'm tired of this garbage, you know. I mean, the last thing I have left is Monday Night Raw, and I'm about ready to give up on that. It's depressing because I love pro wrestling, but, you know, it's done. It's over. I mean, what else can you say? I mean, after tonight, it's over.
Well, you know, I mean, it's one awful show, and I can't say this has been a glorious stretch for WWE. By the way, what happened to Daniel Bryan? Wasn't he the guy we were all so excited about last week? He's back, and then did they even mention him on television tonight?
I heard nothing about him. Not even a commercial with him tonight. Not even a video. You not even a flashback. I mean, geez, you know, come on.
At least give us an angle where it's like the announcers trying to talk about him and Triple H and Stephanie say no. You know, cut it off something, but at least acknowledge this guy. That to me is as strange as anything.
I've been watching this stuff for 37 years now. 37 years. I've never seen it as bad as it is right now. And like I said, I can see them easily filing bankruptcy in 5 to 10 years if they don't change the way things are. This stuff is going the way of roller derby, and it's going fast. Unless they do something, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I'm not ready to say the wrestling business is going belly up. I mean, WWE is in a pretty good place financially. Maybe not as good as they were before the network and their last television contract and all that. But I don't want to overreact to one awful show. I still think WrestleMania is going to do well for them, assuming they head in the right direction. Maybe we shouldn't have that faith right now if you see a show like this. But it's an interesting time. I mean, you have New Japan obviously entering the United States. I mean, Ring of Honor's doing their thing. You have Lucha Underground. TNA's found a new network home. And so there's all these different things. Maybe Global Force becomes something. Maybe it doesn't. It's an interesting time in wrestling, that's for sure. But, Craig, did you watch the New Japan Wrestle Kingdom show?
No, I did not get a chance to watch the New Japan.
All right. Take that $10 you spent. And put that toward, it's not going to pay for the whole thing. And believe me, I'm not getting paid anything by anyone associated with this. I'm just telling you, if you like just good, strong pro wrestling, you just want to watch good wrestling with a good call and a great atmosphere, order a replay of that pay-per-view. I mean, I just think that you just sound like a frustrated WWE fan, and I think you I don't know your taste personally, but I'm not just recommending this to you, but everyone else out there who's frustrated right now, take a chance on that pay-per-view. And I'll even go so far as to say I don't care how people get their shows normally, but in this case, I'm kind of nudging people. Don't do the whole download for free thing. If you can swing it, buy this thing because I'd really like to see more of New Japan airing on North American pay-per-view, even if it means I have to stay up until 5 o'clock in the damn morning.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm sure I'll get around to watching it eventually. You know, it's just, I'm just down on the whole thing, really, you know. But what can you do?
I can't blame you, man. Anything else on your mind tonight?
Well, I don't think Roman Reigns is their guy anymore.
No.
I think Dean Ambrose could have been the guy, but they messed that up. I don't understand why I'm supposed to care about Ryback when he looked like a buffoon for the last 2 years. And, yeah, that's about it.
A lot of frustration. Craig, I appreciate you calling. I think we're going to be getting a lot of these tonight. But it was good to hear from you. Now let's turn things over to 270. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
This is Tyler England calling from Bowling Green, Kentucky, man. What's going on?
Oh, man, this is where I need a co-host. I am so bad with English accents, if that's what you said. But we'll do our best. What's on your mind tonight?
Man, I don't really know what to think about the show. I guess my question is, you know, where do they go from here? I mean, the last couple of years we had some really awesome shows to kick off the new year, and then this year it's just like the night after Survivor Series, as if the Authority would have won. And, you know, I'm kind of sitting here scratching my head like, this is what they give me.
Okay, now we got to stop here because I thought you said something about England, and clearly you did not. Say your name and where you're calling from again.
This is Tyler England calling from Bowling Green, Kentucky. My last name is England.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, we've emailed before, Tyler. I heard England. I'm like, uh-oh, and then I heard your accent. I'm like, okay, I'm bad with English accents, but not that bad. But good to hear from you, Tyler. I mean, it just sounds like I think many people are going to be tonight. You're pretty frustrated with the sad state of at least night one of 2015 Raw.
Yeah, definitely. You know, they don't normally with the New Year Raws, they load the show up, they come in with a bang. You know, last year we had the old school Raw kick things off. It was a good show. I look forward to this show all week, and I sit down to watch this, and I don't know. I'm just kind of, I don't really know where they go from here. I mean, is it a setup for Sting, or is it just one of those shows where they're just trying to shove the Authority back down our throat?
Well, he's no longer the vigilante Sting. Now he's the painted-up goof Sting. So that's about as much storyline progression as we got when it comes to Sting's role in WWE. Yeah, I mean, as much as I'm down on the Authority coming back, I just kind of looked at it and thought, okay, well, it's probably not a coincidence they came back the same night as Daniel Bryan. And it's probably, you know, it probably sets up Sting against Triple H. But I'm still not in favor of it because it feels like a rerun. I don't think this is what people want to see. There's other ways to accomplish those things. And after one night of this, I'm even more just entrenched when it comes to my just strong belief that they need to go the hell away. I mean, as much as I really enjoyed Stephanie McMahon's work this time around, she's really come a long way as a performer. It was so flat tonight. Everything that, you know, things that she did in the past that used to work just weren't getting a reaction. That live crowd didn't want to see them. Twitter was a mess, so I didn't really get a good feel. At least my Twitter feed was on TweetDeck, so I didn't get a good feel there. But just watching the show, I'm just like, okay, the live crowd doesn't seem into this. I know I'm not into this, and I wasn't getting emails from people going, you're being too cruel. And But anything specific tonight, Tyler?
Not really. Like I said, I'm just, I was also surprised, like you already said, by the lack of the mention of Daniel Bryan. You know, I thought it, maybe even if he didn't appear in person, you know, just at least put it out there, you know, it's a new year, you know, probably some new eyes on the show. You've got him coming back at the Rumble. They didn't even mention him tonight. I don't know. It just, the whole show just kind of, like you said, fell flat to me.
It really did, but I'm just going to keep rolling through here. Ty, it was good to hear from you. I hope you'll call again here during our season two, but keep on emailing. Tyler's been helpful for the site with I believe, different results and things of that nature. I definitely recognized Tyler's name once I figured out what it was, but let's keep going through the phone lines. You want to join us tonight, 773-897-6321 is the number. Got a lot of people on hold. 203 is up now, 323 is next, and then 305 and so on down the list. So let's turn it over to 203. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Lewis from Connecticut.
How are you doing tonight?
Hey, pretty good. I agree with the last two guys. I mean, the show has been horrible for months now. I've been like a diehard WWE fan for, God, since I was a little kid, and I never remember it being this bad. I mean, if you go from
what was it
tonight?
I mean, the authority. What? Okay, top to bottom. I mean, give me some specifics on this show. What
everything.
Irked you tonight?
Even when it starts, and like, the show starts, everybody's in the ring, and I just noticed like how weak of a roster they have. I mean, if you look at everyone in there, like New Day, they're horrible. Ascension's not going to go anywhere. Miz and Mizdow, boring. Just no one is appealing. Roman Reigns, they're going to try and push really, really hard. No one cares about Roman Reigns except for like a bunch of women. They're going to be screaming for him. He's going to be like John Cena light. Daniel Bryan, the WWE doesn't even want to push him. Cesaro is great. And what's he do? Stupid little comical act. This thing with Tyson Kidd's probably not even going to take off. Even though it would be great, but they're not going to do anything with it.
I don't have to write my hit list tomorrow. I think you've got it all covered.
The guys in NXT, I mean, the show is pretty good. Always great on Thursday night. The pay-per-view, whatever you want to call it, was fantastic. But as soon as they come up to the main roster, they're going to get ruined. I mean,
what do you mean? You're not excited about the rumors of Adrian Neville becoming a Mighty Mouse-like masked character?
I like Adrian Neville, but I don't think even with the negativity I have, even I don't think he'll be like a top-notch superstar in the main roster. I still see him as a mid-card guy anyways. The Mighty Mouse thing gimmick is stupid, but I still find him like a high mid-card guy. I think Sami Zayn, Owens is great. Finn is amazing. Those guys will do good, but who knows what. I mean, whoever does it, if it's Vince McMahon or whatever, they're just going to ruin them, half of them at least.
And sadly, I have this feeling that next week they're gonna get the feedback on this show. No, it was brutal, and come out guns a blazing, and they're going to be going against the national championship, and a lot of people are going to miss that show. And after a show like tonight, I mean, you know, obviously there's DVRs and everything, but after a show like tonight, you just have to wonder how many people who would normally watch Raw just be like, I'm not even DVRing it after that show. But I mean, you mentioned the Ascension, and we should touch on that quickly. They basically turned heel already. They brought up the comparisons to Demolition and the Road Warriors, and now they're just talking about how they're better than those teams. And JBL and the commentators are like, no, they're not. Who do these guys think they are? Look at these losers they're facing, that kind of a thing. In a weird way, I think this has a better chance to work than what they were doing, which I didn't think had any chance. If it was just these. Yeah, you know, I mean, because basically it was their just Road Warrior knockoffs in 2015 now.
At least
and,
they're accepting
now at least there's like undercard heel potential, would you say? I mean, maybe mid-card. I don't see this clicking. And when I say undercard and mid-card, well, in WWE, hell, they could have a tag team title run because that's all the tag teams turn out to be.
Thinking of the way, like, I mean, I hate Ryback. I find him so boring and so, like caveman, like guy. And I mean, maybe he'll appeal to those fans that cheer Ryback and scream, feed me more, feed me more, feed me more. When I'm just thinking, like, go away, go away, go away. So, I mean, maybe he'll appeal to those people, but I never really saw any money in the Ascension, sadly.
I'm with you. Even when they were in NXT, it was like, well, they have a cool entrance, and you know, I like the act better. I thought it had more upside when the artist now known as Bram in TNA was part of the team, and they had to move Victor in because Bram had his legal issues, and I just never felt like Victor looked the part. And taking the approach they have, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's someone new for the Usos to work with, but I think kind of the problem with the Usos is they've just been overexposed because they've thrown them out there in these ridiculously long Raw matches. Yeah,
every
just trying to
week
kill
it's
time.
A 3-on-3 match with the Usos versus somebody, and it's just every week almost feels like a rerun when you watch Raw, unfortunately. And this is coming from, like, I'm a person that, I mean, I've always, like, back in the what would they call the WCW wars, like, I was always pro-WWE. I mean, with my friends, I was always like, oh, WCW sucks, blah, 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 they're horrible. I always root for WWE. I watch TNA, like, I root for, like, TNA to suck. I'm like, oh, this show's horrible, it's so stupid. And I was always, like, a pro-WWE guy until a couple months ago, and I noticed, like, this is horrible. This isn't enjoying enjoyable. Like, usually, like, the guys I root for, like, are pushed, and it just feels like that doesn't happen anymore, and it's just, like, these dumb gimmicks are coming along, like the New Day gimmick. I mean, that's pointless. I mean, they come out, crowd's dead. What's the guy with the rabbit, Adam Rose or whatever?
Yeah, another now you get to see them together, apparently.
I mean, it's they're putting these people on, and I don't know who's it appealing to. I mean, little kids, people who aren't very intelligent? I don't understand. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I'm going to keep rolling through the phone calls. I appreciate your call tonight. this is turning into the WWE Raw wine line. I really didn't expect this tonight. I mean, and I don't blame people for being frustrated. I'm frustrated with it too, but I just figured, man, first show of the year, no Monday Night Football, no holiday week. They did load up last week's show in a big way. I thought they'd come out strong. The new Royal Rumble, I don't know if you, I guess, semi, you know, co-main event. I'm not sure which is actually going to headline the Rumble match or the title match. But Seth Rollins has been added to the World Heavyweight Championship match. It's now Brock Lesnar versus John Cena versus Seth Rollins. This was framed as the basically the reward for Seth Rollins finding a way to get the authority back in power, Triple H giving him that. It definitely creates some interesting, you know, possibilities. There's not a ton. He could be the guy to lose. He could also be the guy to lose and then cash in successfully. The guy could lose this match and then cash in his Money in the Bank contract. We'll see how they play that. I'm kind of curious to see where they go with that. I, if nothing else, I thought there'd be, you know, when they made that announcement, I thought we'd be talking about that quite a bit tonight. And it just was such a downward spiral, the overall show. And I don't even know how people feel about that. I'm kind of curious to get some thoughts on that, if any of you guys want to discuss the new triple threat match at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view rather than the straight-up John Cena versus Brock Lesnar. I would say one pro for it is that, well, we don't have to see yet another John Cena-Brock Lesnar match. I've wanted to see Brock work with younger talent, work with someone other than guys that he's worked with in previous runs, and we're not exactly getting that because it's a triple threat. It's not like a straight-up singles match, but at least there's a little bit of new blood in there. On the flip side, now you don't really get the true winner of the Brock Lesnar and John Cena feud because it's not a one-on-one match. But we'll see what you guys have to say about that if anyone wants to. But we're here to talk about whatever the heck you want. 773-897-6321 on the line now. We go to 323. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Johnny from Hollywood. How are you doing tonight, other than Raw, of course?
Other than that, I'm doing okay. You know, it took me a little bit, Johnny, to get out of. Yesterday was just kind of a complete fog because I was up until 5 o'clock in the freaking morning covering the New Japan show. I know, pity, poor me. Yesterday, I got up at noon to watch football, and then I just kind of sat there in a fog all day and got to bed early. So I'm kind of, I think I'm actually back on schedule. I don't want to jinx myself and end up being up till five tonight or this morning. But so far, so good. What's going on tonight, though, Johnny?
Of course, you know, I watched the same Raw as you did. One of the, you know, the bright spots, there weren't that many bright spots, but it seems like they're booking things right around Rollins, at least, and his, like, curb stomp and stuff like that. Because I noticed, his was the only handicap match that actually got a crowd reaction, where they were actually, you know, where Ryback was dominating, winning the handicap match at one point until Rollins comes in with that devastating curb stomp. Let me see. What was I going to say again? Okay. I had two thoughts. First, again, about this Raw was that triple threat match. It seems like when they built this new main event, that they were reacting to something. Meaning, I'm thinking something changed as far as their Mania plans were concerned. Do you know what? Do you have an idea what they could have changed?
By adding Rollins to that match?
Exactly.
I'm not sure. It's possible that it's just kind of a Brock Lesnar contract related issue. I mean, it's no secret his deal is up after WrestleMania, and I don't know if they kind of figured out like he's not coming back, and so we want to get the title off him, but we don't want it going to Cena. I, you know, I mean, there's, I, it, it all speculation. I mean, it could be the opposite. Well, they were going to have Brock lose, but now that he's sticking around, they don't want John Cena to lose either. I mean, you know, who knows, John? I mean, very fair question. I just wish I don't have an answer for you. I wish I did.
Okay. And then my second thought and question and stuff, just to change the tide of the show, Wrestle Kingdom 9 was so awesome. Like, was it yesterday or, you know, yesterday morning? What I wanted to talk, you know, it was refreshing seeing, like, this holiday almost booked a whole year of good wrestling in, like, 2 hours, but, like, meaning, like, the last two matches and even the undercard matches were really good as well. It was cool seeing, like, you know, this, you know, they were building stars, which leads to my question. I was thinking, do you see any of these stars, from New Japan? And I hope they don't go to TNA because TNA had AJ Styles and they even had Okada when he was Okado, Samoa Joe, Green Hornet sidekick. Do you see any of these stars making a splash in the U.S. anytime if any bookers or anyone sees any of these stars from Wrestle Kingdom 9 or tapes and stuff like that?
Well, I mean, I would think those guys are compensated well enough that unless it's WWE, I don't see them just jumping ship to go to work for TNA, for instance, or Ring of Honor. However, they do have some co-shows coming up, some joint promotional shows with Ring of Honor again this year, so at least see them there. I don't know what WWE, how much, I mean, they have Itami and Hideo Itami, a.k.a. Kenta. I don't know if they're actively pursuing additional New Japan talent or if they just kind of are sitting back on that right now. I mean, I wish Zach were here, but I mean, my first guess on this is unless it's a situation like it was with Kenta where that was his dream, most of these guys are probably going to stay put. Now, if Kenta, a.k.a. Hideo Itami, has just monster success in WWE, well, that may change some opinions. But for now, I would think that most of those guys are going to be pretty content to stay where they are. And after, you know, having seen the quality of Raw lately compared to what we saw on that New Japan pay-per-view, Johnny, I don't know about you, I'm okay with that. If they stay right where they are, where they'll actually be well-utilized.
Of course. But that show last night did have me a little excited for what Prince Devitt could bring to WWE because they didn't mention him a lot on that New Japan show where he was the founder of Bullet Club. And I did watch New Japan videos of where, you know, when he was a babyface, he did the body paint thing. And when he was a heel, he was, you know, that NWO leader in the Bullet Club. So hopefully that pans out. And, you know, NXT, and that's what's good about NXT. And here was my second, this is my last question and final thought.
Yeah.
I might even ask you on the live cast tomorrow. What do you think of, you know, how would you compare, like, the Japanese crowd to how U.S. crowds are? Because what I saw was, you know, I would, more prefer, like, how the, you know, where they're, silent, respectful, because a huge thing in, or I've grown up in a half-Asian family. A huge thing about, like, the Asian culture is, like, showing respect to performers and reacting to, like, spots and, you know, the stuff that they do. How would you compare, like, American wrestling audience, like, the whole, you know, general to the, like, Asian wrestling audience? And, you know,
yeah, I mean... Yeah, that's just, I would say you summed it up nicely there. They're respectful. It's not a just over-the-top, let's cheer to cheer kind of crowd like you get at Raw. I mean, tonight, the New Japan crowd was actually probably louder than the Raw crowd was for a good portion of this show tonight, but special circumstances. I think it really goes into the product. I think so. The culture, obviously, some of it, but also the product being more sports-like and more serious than WWE is. I mean, they have a little bit of comedy here and there, but they really do react to those major spots, and otherwise it's not. So when you watch a Japanese product and you notice, like, the crowd is quiet, it's not that they're not into it. It's that they're really just focused on the thing. And so it sounds like you're aware of that, but I always kind of try to explain that to people who just may be new to the Japanese product and are like, what's going on here? But I thought that crowd the other night was a lot of fun. I mean, they definitely, they peak at the right times, and I'm with you. I mean, mean, I'm never going to tell someone how to act when it comes to going to a show. I mean, you pay your money for the ticket, and as long as you're not disrupting the people next year or something like that, I mean, people are going to cheer the way they want to. But, yeah, I mean, I guess I wish the fans were a little bit more like they are in Japan, but I think I also, so much of that, Johnny, is just wishing that the product was more like it is in Japan, where it's a serious product. It's not, to use a Vince term, sports entertainment.
Or just a huge, like an example just from myself is when I was in high school, which was like around 2006, around 2007, I actually witnessed Brock Lesnar's first MMA match. And it was in Koreatown, LA, by the way. And
oh, yeah, the giant Korean, wasn't it? I can't remember the man's name.
Here's how it went. It was Dynamite USA, and my dad actually was one of the people who helped promote it with his company. It was a nonprofit, but they used those to try to fill up seats in the stadium.
Yeah.
I was the only Brock Lesnar fan, though, because the other guy was a Korean guy, and I was in Koreatown. Yeah. Brock was the heel, obviously. But he won, and I got to, laugh out of that. But you get that. But, Korean, Asian, Chinese, Japanese, it's just a thing in Asian culture where I saw a similar audience when I was at Brock Lesnar's first match. And at the end, Brock Lesnar got a standing ovation. And he didn't fight. That's why he was supposed to fight the Korean Big Show, like the tall, like sideshow guy. But he ended up fighting because the big giant was actually injured. So he ended up fighting like a judo legend. A guy way past his prime, but also this was Brock Lesnar's first match, so we didn't know how he was. So,
right.
I thought, but in that crowd, like they were they'll boo Brock Lesnar like totally when during his entrance, but then they were watching the match, and then once Brock Lesnar won, he got a standing ovation for beating like the Korean legend, and it was pretty cool seeing that, being a part of that audience. Have a good night. Hopefully Raw gets better next week.
Yeah, let's hope so. Thanks for calling. Always good to hear from a .NET member. We'll talk about membership in just a second. But he also mentioned livecast on Tuesday afternoons. I am on the PW Torch livecast at pwtorchlivecast.com. 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern, with Wade Keller usually. Last week, James Caldwell filled in for him. I assume Wade will be back today, tomorrow. And we will be taking your phone calls just as we do here. And that show is on 5 days a week. I think I'm only on one day, but Tuesday through Friday is the 4:30 Central time. And I know Wade is having TNA President Dixie Carter on the show on Friday. So just showing a little love for the guys over at the Torch. But if you don't get in on the phone lines tonight, or if you're listening to this on delay because we're on too late for you, there's another opportunity to call in and chat some pro wrestling with us. I mentioned that Johnny is a .NET member and a membership. I'm going to keep this real short and sweet tonight because we do have so many people waiting on the line. I just want to recommend that the 75-minute, I believe it is, audio review that Will Pruitt and Zach Zimmerman did regarding the New Japan pay-per-view. As I mentioned before, Zach was actually in the Tokyo Dome on Sunday morning our time, and attended that show live, and he had a very unique perspective on it, and Zach is incredibly knowledgeable when it comes to New Japan Pro Wrestling. And then Will had the perspective of I don't think his cable company was carrying the live feed or the feed that he needed to see, and so he ended up watching it on New Japan World, and so he heard the Japanese commentary. And Will is kind of where I am. I'm a novice when it comes to Japanese wrestling. I think I've probably seen more than Will, but I think Will asked some really good questions that maybe some of you who are new to the product would want to have answered. And like I said, Zach is just so knowledgeable when it comes to Japanese wrestling in general. And 75 minutes, really good discussion. I listened to it today. I learned something from it, and I think you can as well. It's available as a member-exclusive audio perk, as is my Quick Hits audio from this afternoon, and all sorts of additional audio content available. Most of the shows are reviewed in audio form for you guys, and the .NET Weekly audio show, usually on Thursday afternoons now. I'll get together with one of the guys who are a guest host. Recently we had Jim Ross on. That Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer, for 85 minutes, heading into the paper that he ended up calling, and we discussed a variety of topics. If you're interested in membership, it is an ad-free version of the website, and if you have an iPhone iPhone or an Android phone, you can access all the perks of membership right there on your phone. Yes, the apps are working. They were down today. There was something with the app company server, I believe, was the deal, but they are up and running. And membership rates, though, start as low as $5.50 if you take our annual option. There's also a six-month price break, but if you want to take our annual option, though, $5.50 a month. If you want to try us out, though, for 1 month, membership rates are $7.50 for 1 month. All the details available on the main page at ProWrestling.net. Just look for the sign-up here. You can't miss it. Again, ad-free access, all of our audio content, not just what you guys get here on the all-access side of things. And you can correspond with a great group of people in the .NET Members Forum. Really good bunch. You don't get a bunch of nonsense in there with you're new, and so your opinion doesn't matter. Really good group of people that I think you would enjoy talking wrestling with. And if you have any questions on any of this, you can hit me up by email at dotnetjason@gmail.com or hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. And hopefully Twitter will be functioning for me and so I can actually respond to you. Let's get back to the phone calls. Let's see, who did I say was next up in line? I believe it was 305. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, what's going on? DJ from Miami.
Hey, DJ from Miami. Thanks for calling ProWrestling.net Live. What's up?
I got a couple things. What side was Stephanie on again? But okay, anyways. You know what's kind of weird is I was thinking that, okay, remember they had so many baby faces, but now they want to fire everybody. I was thinking, would it be more logical, instead of firing them and looking, that's kind of looking like, you know what I mean? I think they should, like, say, okay, you know what, you're going to go to NXT for next month or something. Something that's more believable, you know, than, oh, you're fired, and then something like John Cena against Triple H, like, oh, God, don't tell me that. The only way they're going to get him back, something crazy like that. You know what I mean? What do you think?
Well, I don't know. Could you send him to NXT? Could you say that? I guess, but yeah, it would be more believable than this. I don't think anyone in that crowd was sitting around going, my God, they just fired Ryback and Dolph Ziggler and Eric Rowan. What will these men do for a living? I think, if nothing else, DJ, maybe this is a sign that this nonsense with the authority isn't going to last long. I don't know if they'll do the bit where these guys start showing up in the crowd and creating mischief when they buy a ticket, or if someone's going to, like you said, win a match and rehire them, or somebody steps in even next week and says, no.
Yeah.
This isn't how it's going to be. So, I mean, I guess that's one way of looking on the bright side of this, is that maybe, just maybe, this is an indication that you won't have to see the Triple H and Stephanie routine all that long. Seeing is believing, though, because I do think that they didn't stop talking about them. They never had another general manager in place. And nice of Triple H to mock their own ideas for guest general managers. It's incredible. But you said you had more.
I like the part when he's like, "Yeah, when we were gone, it's a sinking ship. Well, now I think it's sunk. Now you came back." You know what I'm saying? That's funny how he said that. Second thing is that, let's see, the Cena Lesnar thing. Do you think, I don't know, you don't think they're going to put him face, do you? The only thing I can think of, like you were saying, is that, you know, he's going to lose, then he's going to cash it in the next day or, you know, maybe or something, because I don't know. That's not too good of a match, you know. I don't know what they're going to do with that. I'm scared because, look what happened before. Now this. So I don't know what's going to go on with that. I mean, do you think that – what do you think? I mean, you don't think Brock's going to go face, do you?
If he's leaving, I don't see why he would. I don't understand why you would invest that time in turning him babyface if he's leaving the company. If he's staying, I still don't know why at this point you would. I think you could come out of WrestleMania and then, you stick with the current Brock through Mania. If he happens to stick around and doesn't go back to MMA, then the next time you see him, maybe you do an angle. Maybe something happens at WrestleMania that everything points in that direction so that when he comes back, it's a big deal. But I don't do it now. I do want to sneak and mention that Tyler England emailed me, and he's absolutely right. I've forgotten about this. Randy Orton, I think it's I don't remember who reported it, or I would give them credit. Somebody said that Randy Orton has a deviated septum, and so that may be why he didn't make his return tonight. I'd forgotten all about that with the crazy holidays and all that stuff. So thanks to Tyler for sending that in. But DJ, anything else tonight?
I do one more thing. I would think that maybe they would bring him and Rumble? I mean, because, you know, they're bringing back all the good people. So maybe they'll bring him back in the Rumble. Hopefully they'll give him a couple weeks to, you know, be off a little more, and then we'll see what's going to go on. But let me ask you a question. Did you see the Divas last night?
The Total Divas?
Yeah, did you watch that?
No. You know what happened? I'm nine episodes behind. I had three on one DVR, six on the other. And then I saw, oh, they're on WWE Network. I deleted them. And then I realized, oh, it's the season before that's on WWE Network. So I, whenever it gets on the network is when I'm going to have to start catching up again. Was it any good?
Okay. Well, it's, you know, they're like, Natty ate a pop brownie, and then she acted like she didn't want to take the test. She crashed a car. It's pretty crazy. I'm not going to give any spoilers, but...
go ahead. It's already aired. It's fine.
Okay. One thing, I do have one more thing to say, but the only thing was funny because she ate a pop brownie, and then, like, later on, they were in, like, the arena, and then she's like, I'm going to look up smoking weed. Like, smoking weed and eating edibles are two different things. Their part, that was a bad writing, but I guess you didn't watch it, so it's not a big deal, because I was going to say something else, but okay. The last thing is this. We never talked about Ambrose. Do you think about now that Wyatt beat him, do you think that Ambrose is going to be gone for a while? I mean, what do you think about, I mean, it all swings in. All the faces are gone. If Ambrose is gone too, Ryback, Ziggler, all of them, and all we have is John Cena, and then all we don't have is heels? I'm just saying that's a cut of a story, but what do you think? Do you think he's going to come back just at the Rumble? Do you think he'll come back next week because he was in an ambulance? What do you think is going to happen with him?
A fair question. Thanks for calling in. With Ambrose, I mean, they were framing this like it was the end of the line. This was the last match they were going to have in this big feud they've had. Nothing really happened to Ambrose to make me think, wow, injury angle, they're sending him on his way for a while. And this is WWE, and if you look at the recent history, these guys have had all these gimmick matches. I would hope that they're going to live up to the way they build this and that this is going to be it for a while. But, I mean, I don't even put it past them to come back at SmackDown and have another gimmick match the way they're going overboard. It's a shame. It's, you know, I've been critical of TNA and the way they've done hardcore in the past. It's just too lazy. It's just like, oh, let's just have a gimmick match to have a gimmick match. And this goes back a ways with TNA. But WWE is just as guilty when it comes to this feud. There's not enough story between these two. It's been, you know, Dean Ambrose, his father is in prison. That was their idea of, like, giving him character development. Bray Wyatt reveals that. Okay, next logical question, okay, what's he in for? How did this affect Dean? We don't get any of those answers. Let's just have another hardcore match. It's street fight. Whatever it is they come up with this week. So could it be sending Ambrose on his merry way for a little bit? I guess it could. I just didn't see anything in the match that looked violent enough as far as, like, you know, injury setup to really make me think that, yeah, it's definitive he's going. So I don't have the answer on that one either, unfortunately. Let's go to 773. You are up next. Who are you? Where are you calling from? 773, are you there? Going once. 773. Twice. Man, you've been on hold a while. 773. Gone. And there's another 773 that I see on the line a little bit more down the list with a 294 up next after that. We have not dropped you. Sit tight. We'll get to you, okay? And now let's go to 859. 859, who are you? Where are you calling from?
This is .net. .net member Jeremy Moses from Florence, Kentucky. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm sorry about your Bengals.
Don't even get me started on that.
I don't want to spend a ton of time on this, so just kind of a very brief answer. Should they fire Marvin Lewis?
No.
I agree.
I think they need a general manager more than anything. But it's Mike Brown we're talking about here. Come on.
Exactly. And you're without your best player. I know there's some negative history there as far as the playoffs are concerned, but I didn't think yesterday was, like, just so obvious, like, wow, he's got to go, he's lost the team or anything like that. But anyway, what's going on wrestling-wise? We're losing all the people in the UK going, why are you talking about that awful sport?
Yeah. Regarding Ambrose, I got to say that I think they could go back to Rollins. Remember, that threat is out there from Ambrose that, you know, anytime Rollins goes to cash in that money in the bank, you know, he could stop him.
Now, he could, Jay Moss, but do you really trust them to remember any storyline that doesn't involve Triple H and Stephanie McMahon directly from more than, like, 2 weeks ago?
Well, no, but, you know, I just wanted to throw that out there as a possibility.
Yeah, no, you're right, though. I mean, I don't know how exactly they'd go about it. But, yeah, I mean, that was the story, was that he was going to, he would not let Seth Rollins cash in. It seems like it's gone by the wayside. But if they wanted to reintroduce that, they could. Well, what else, man?
Raw was just frustrating. It's been frustrating. It was frustrating. It was really frustrating to me last week, considering the issues that, you know, I've been through lately and, you know, seeing what they did with Edge. I don't care if Edge was okay with it or not. There's just some lines that you just don't cross. And then this week, you know, it seems like threatening to kill somebody is the new buzzword at WWE. What do you think of that?
Which is ridiculous. And I'm guessing Wade will bring this up during the show. I still remember when Wade interviewed Scott Hall for a Torch Talk at one time, and Scott Hall talked about the stupidity of wrestlers basically using the words, "I'll kill you," because it's nothing they can ever live up to. You know, the babyface can't possibly live up to that. It's just idiotic to do. And so, yeah, I mean, that hasn't changed. Scott Hall was 100% right on that. And so, I don't know why you go there. Just, you can come up with things that don't make the viewer stop and go, he's not going to kill him. No one believes that in pro wrestling in 2015 that there's the threat of one wrestler killing another unless it's a botched, horrible move. You know, but as part of the storyline, until they write off one of the characters, until they completely change their approach, and my God, this character, the person isn't dead, they won't tell us that, just the character is. Well, I mean, there's no reason to think there's ever going to be that anyone could ever live up to that. It's silly. But anyway, what else, Jay Moss?
They tried that with Vince McMahon, and well, you see how that worked out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, there were some extenuating circumstances there, though. Keep in mind with the when all that went down and with the whole Benoit tragedy and all that. So I don't believe they would have had a great payoff to that by any means. But we'll give them a pass on that one.
Yeah. But the other thing, with TNA's big move to Destination America, coming up, a little over 24 hours from now, they've got the big world title match. What do you think? You think they're going to load up the rest of the show?
They're busy right now telling us that, like one I haven't even gotten to tonight, Eric Young has re-signed. Today they told us the Wolves have re-signed. And I mean, it's keeping their name out there. I'll give them that. It doesn't mean much to me when they're just telling us that a lot of people that we've already seen with the company, and in most cases people like, well, they re-signed. I didn't even know there was a threat of them leaving. You know, that's kind of, I think, how the average fan out there is looking at it. I wish they were focused more on the show. I mean, the only thing we know about it is the TNA title match. Then we know that it's live, or probably live to tape is usually the way they do this. It'll be one of those deals where it airs on tape delay, I should say. But even if it, whether it's live or on tape delay, doesn't matter. We don't know enough about the show. And Bobby Roode and Bobby Lashley, it is a big match by TNA standards, and they've had good matches in the past. But, yeah, I think they should be giving us a little bit more, and hopefully they do now that Raw's out of the way. But I don't know if you've noticed this, Jeremy. It seems like so much of their big hype they try to drop during Raw, when people are actually, wrestling fans are online on Twitter and all that. So maybe we'll get a smidgen or two on Wednesday afternoon to kind of give that final push. But I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, and then you hear Dixie Carter in the interviews that she's doing talking about, the Wednesday show, it's live. We can't exactly do all the things we want to do on the tape shows. So we're really excited about the first Friday show. It's like, then why are you having a live show? If you're, I mean, you worked in PR. Learn how to sell your product better. But anyway, I could go on all day, Jay Moss.
Yeah, that's their problem in a microcosm right there. That's all I got. Have a great night.
Hey, man, thank you, and hang in there. And, again, sorry about your beloved Bengals. Yeah, Jay Moss and I can sympathize with one another because he follows a football team that I don't think they've won a Super Bowl either. Man. Let's go to 631. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Kyle from Long Island, New York.
Kyle from Long Island, are you going to the show still?
Yeah, I am.
All right. Well, what's on your mind tonight?
I was just wondering, what would your opinion be if they finally decided to get rid of the authority at all? How would you design for them to make more matches better, like Dash or title build-up? And my other question
Give me that
is,
one again. Hold on. Because I missed that. How would I get rid of the authority and then I missed the rest of that?
No. Like, if the authority would be gone forever and we don't have to deal with this crap anymore, how would you build up title matches differently than they do now?
Oh, very simple. I mean, you can. I grew up on the AWA and really everything, but I mean, that was my first exposure, and then shortly thereafter, World Class and WWF, and none of them had heel authority figures. And really, the authority figure you saw in the AWA was a little old guy named Wally Carbo, and he would come out and threaten fines and suspensions and things of that nature. There was a championship committee. You might get Wally making the announcement of the next title match at the St. Paul Civic Center or something like that. You can have a wrestler, a former wrestler, play that role, or you could even just make it seem like it's something the broadcast team announces to people that the championship committee has decided. You don't need all this. Wrestling got by for many years without all these damn authority figures and did just fine, and I just think they're stuck in this trap now of heel authority figures especially, but I'm okay if it's, you know, let's say they Ric Flair, for instance, they wanted to bring him in as kind of the neutral party. Okay, fine. You know, but we don't need all this heel nonsense. That's my big thing. Does that cover it, Kyle?
Yeah. And my other question is, do you think NXT has become a bigger problem for the WWE because of how it performs and how everyone craves it compared to Raw?
Well, I tell you, it's a nice problem to have. I wouldn't call it a problem. I could see where, you know, who it could be a problem for is Triple H, just depending on how Vince McMahon is reacting to this product. Is there some jealousy? And, you know, you would think a guy in Vince McMahon's position who's accomplished all he has wouldn't have petty jealousies when it comes to a group of developmental wrestlers in that product. But it's Vince, and nothing would surprise me. And so I can see where that has become a headache for Triple H is just, you know, when the crowd starts chanting NXT, is Vince going, way to go, you know, good for you, or is it petty Vince and he's not real pleased by this? But, no, I think It's a nice problem to have. I say that because I think they need to exploit what they do have so much better than they do. They need to give this a little bit of a spotlight on Raw, and I'm not even saying you need to have matches on Raw or anything, but I don't see why you don't make that a big part of the WWE Network sales pitch, is that you get this hot underground product that real wrestling fans are raving about. And I mean, that's a bigger sales pitch than damn near anything else they have on that network, with the exception of live pay-per-views, because they don't do a really good job with Now programming. So much of it is, hey, check out our video library, and it'll give us more Now programming, and NXT is certainly that.
Thank you so much, Jason. I'll get reports to you every day this week.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate it. Have fun at those shows. I definitely appreciate it. Kyle from Long Island is our correspondent when TNA goes to the Manhattan Center. And so you can look for Kyle's report. I don't know if he's probably going to be sending them in after the show. If he sends them in during the show, I'll have them up then. But we'll definitely, as long as Kyle's on the case, we can definitely count on having results from the upcoming TV tapings. But if you are going to those tapings or any other tapings, we'd still appreciate your help. Even if you're going to those, we like getting more than one perspective, I should say. And who knows, maybe Kyle's phone dies, or, you know, anything could happen. Kyle doesn't make it to the show because he's eaten by Jaws the shark, whatever the case may be. Hopefully I didn't just jinx Kyle, stay out of the water for a while, just in case. But you can always help us out if you're going to any live event, TV taping, anything like that. Again, my email address, dotnetjason@gmail.com, or hit me up on Twitter, @ProWrestlingNet. Right back to the phone lines, 262, who are you? Where are you calling from?
Mark from Wisconsin.
Mark from Wisconsin, how are you, man?
Hey, Jaws is in the Pacific Ocean, right? Not the Atlantic Ocean, so I don't think Kyle has anything to worry about.
I'm not that big on when it comes to sharks and where they actually are, where they're not. I live in Minnesota. We have lakes. We don't have sharks.
Yeah, I live in Wisconsin. We don't have dick. Yeah, I actually have a question about Roman Reigns. It actually has nothing to do with the Royal Rumble. I think everyone would agree that, you know, they should have done more character development with him. And he's been on the roster for 2+ years, and I have no idea why they haven't brought up the fact that this guy was a fairly successful college football player on the highest levels. Like, this wasn't, you know, John Cena playing in front of 200 friends and family at Division III. Like, this guy was, you know, playing the ACC, playing the ACC against, you know, Florida State, Miami, and Georgia. Like, the only thing I can think of is, you know, his name isn't Roman Reigns, so they didn't want to highlight that fact. Like, plus, he played in Atlanta, a city they go to fairly often. Like, it baffles me.
And he tried out for my beloved Minnesota Vikings, and hell, they could have used him at linebacker this year, but he didn't make the cut when he did try out back in the day. But, yeah, I don't know if it's something that, yes, I agree, it's one way to do it. With Reigns, they may want him to be a little more mysterious. He's a guy who doesn't say a whole lot, or at least that's when he's been most effective. When he was with the Shield, he was the guy that chimed in with the cool line at the end. As time goes on, I think you definitely need to incorporate some of those things to give this guy a little more depth as far as the character goes, and just more personality, something people can connect with and tell that story. I think it's come up, I believe it was the feature they did on the Shield on WWE Network. I think they interviewed one of his former coaches or something like that. I'm not quite sure what it was, but it's come up. But yeah, I was wondering too if they were to go all the way with him at WrestleMania. And at this point, I sure hope they're not, because that's not going to work. It's just too little, too late, as far as I'm concerned. But if they were, I wonder if you'd start to see some of that then, a little more just kind of behind the scenes, but more historical, who this guy is and what makes him tick, kind of thing, as you get closer to Mania. So maybe we'll see it at some point. But what else, Mark?
One thing they could do is if he was teammates with Calvin Johnson, and, you know, I don't know if they're close or, like, if, you know, they were friends, but, like, you know, they could probably, like, call in, try to get Calvin Johnson and just do some sort of, like, backstage thing with them.
Yeah, worth the shot, yeah. I mean, hey, it's not going to do anything for the worldwide audience, but I think most people in probably North America know who Calvin Johnson is. It couldn't hurt if they can get him. Nice get to, you know, it's not like Calvin's in, as much of a star player as he is, especially for all of us fantasy football players, it's not like you see Calvin Johnson everywhere. So, yeah, maybe he is a guy that could get. But was there more, or are we still talking Georgia Tech football? Was that where you went, Georgia Tech, or was it Georgia itself?
Yeah, it was Georgia Tech. Did you see what Lance Storm said?
No.
He apparently was very, very upset by the Ascension line. And, like, I didn't put two and two together at the time, because they said they were going to throw the Road Warriors off the road, which, considering Hawk is no longer with us, is very, very distasteful. And he was not happy about this.
You know, like I mentioned earlier, my Twitter was haywire. I used TweetDeck, and it wasn't working worth a damn tonight. So I missed it. But I guess I'd have to see it in the context that Lance mentioned, but I mean, my first thought on it wasn't outrage. It was just, oh, wow, they're going this route with it. I guess, I don't know, maybe I'll read what Lance had to say and I'll have a different perspective on it. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like outrage. I wasn't offended. It's just, you know, it was distasteful. Like, there are other ways to, like, get that point across without saying, you know, essentially that you're going to kill the Road Warriors.
Yeah, I didn't think we're going to run them off the road. It just kind of seemed like lingo for we're better than these guys. But if the idea was we're going to run them off the road, literally, well, yeah, that's kind of stupid considering only one of them is still with us. Yeah, that's pretty idiotic. But anything else, man?
No, I think that's all I got.
Cool. Well, it's good to talk to you again. It's been a while. I'm sorry I cut you off there before you could finish your thought, but I do that to people from Wisconsin because I'm from Minnesota, and we look down on you because we have no one else to look down on other than Iowans, and it's okay. They all look down on us. So if you're going, wow, that's mean, well, it's this little, like, hate triangle we all have. It's all in good fun. Let's go to 773. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Hello?
Who's this?
Hello. My name is Bryce, and I'm from Chicago.
What's going on?
Oh, God. I guess other than this, I don't know what this was tonight on Raw, to be honest, but I'm just going to flat out say it was just jack shit. And I just got to say to people, if you didn't see Wrestle Kingdom 9, I saw it last night, and I got to say, phenomenal show. I'd recommend that to anybody, because I even predicted this and said, like, you know what, this show's probably going to be better than Raw tonight.
tell. If lucky, it could be better than WrestleMania this year, to be honest.
Well, I tell you, man, you nailed it. I want to jump in here quick because we would be down to what our normal time is going to be. Most weeks we're going to go an hour, but we've got a lot of people waiting on hold tonight. I've got us blocked off for another 30 minutes, so I'm going to try to get to everyone who's on hold. So if you're still waiting on hold to talk, sit tight. I will do my damnedest to get to you in the half hour we have left. But Wrestle Kingdom, you mentioned it. I really enjoyed the show. Now, are you a regular connoisseur when it comes to Japanese wrestling, or was this more of a, well, give this a shot kind of a thing?
I've seen it a few times. I wouldn't say, like, I watch it religiously, but I've seen it a few times. And I guess if you want to count TNA in a way, whatever they did with Bound for Glory, you know, with the Wrestle 1 thing with Japanese.
Sure.
Like, I've seen a little of it. Like, I haven't seen that much, but I do know what has happened sometimes because that's how I pretty much knew AJ Styles was down there a lot and the Bullet Club and everything. So I say I wouldn't watch it religiously, but I do know what it is about. I've seen a couple things about it. And what we're watching last night pretty much impressed me even more. And more. Even people, you know, that were former WWE guys, I didn't know that I was still there. Because I didn't really know Shelton Benjamin was still wrestling that. I didn't know he was still down there. So it was kind of cool to see him again.
And what did you think the best match was?
The best match? Jesus Christ. I know I'm going to probably get a lot of heat from may not recognize the names, but it was the one with, I believe it was... it was the guy. I'm sorry if I don't really remember, but I believe it was that one was pretty much. I think it was like the hardcore one. I wouldn't say hardcore match, but like the one going win by knockout or submission, pretty much. Shinsuke, I'm sorry if I don't remember the name, but I'm doing my best with it. But that was one of my favorite matches tonight, and I guess AJ Styles.
Oh, the Sakuraba match?
Yes, yes.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, that's cool. It was, I asked because a lot of love for the main event, and I certainly strongly agree that it was a great main event. I actually liked the semi-main event even more.
Okay,
I was just blown
incredible.
Away by the
Nakamura
title
match. Yes.
Yeah, that was
Nakamura
was something else,
match.
Man. Yeah.
Yes.
And so it sounds like you're with me.
It was great because I just got to say, because watching tonight and watching, you know, the whole Wrestle Kingdom thing, I'm looking at Raw. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, man, it's almost made me want Sting to go back to TNA now. To see if he's back at the show. I'm like, dude, just go back to TNA now. Because even I don't really give a fuck at this point if he was in WWE now. I like Sting, and I'm glad he got his debut. But even people were wondering, like, is Sting going to show up? Is Orton going to show up? How many times does the Intercontinental title have to keep playing hot potato every month? Somebody told me, just like watching an episode of WCW 2000, and that Vince Russo was writing the show tonight or something. Oh, my God. Like, how bad could it get tonight?
You know what? I never thought it would come to this, but I'm actually going to say it. You're being too hard on Vince Russo. I wouldn't even give Vince Russo credit for a horrible show like this. So this was just rerun. I seriously feel like, God, did I go back to last year's first show of the year? And as far as just like, they're back. Hey, it's the same old bit. They're going to get their revenge. And, oh, man, I was not a fan at all. But did you have any questions or anything else you wanted to hit on? We got a ton of callers still to go.
I want to get everybody get their call and everything. Pretty much say about everything. Pretty much everybody's already touched on the subjects from Reigns and how many times has Ambrose had to keep losing gimmick matches. Because I said this to somebody a long time ago, especially with Roman Reigns. I feel like in the past that they're going to push him so far up the moon that he's going to be like Sheamus and people aren't going to care later in time. Now, I may be wrong about this, but when I look at his push and how they pushed him to the moon, where I know the whole superstar year thing and stuff, why do I feel like he may win the Rumble, then do some things into whatever the new pay-per-view is called, and then win the entire WrestleMania real quick? I don't think that's happening now, but sometimes I feel like Roman Reigns is being pushed too fast, but I'm looking at him right now. It's just like, how long does he have to be in this feud with Big Show? So that's my last thing to say about that. I'm just scared to get your opinion on that part.
Cool, man. I appreciate the call. You know, it's funny. You know, when we talk about Roman Reigns being pushed down everyone's throat, someone brought this up on one of the call-in shows. May have been this one, may have been the live cast, but it was a very fair point, especially now looking back. It was, what have they really done to shove him down the throats of viewers, other than the one example I give people is the Superstar of the Year thing. I don't believe the voting was legit, and if it was legit, it's the one time I would have worked it because it didn't seem like he had done anything to really earn Superstar of the Year. I thought that was silly, and that was just going too far. And that's the kind of thing where people are sitting at home going, wait a minute, well, come on, stop. The issue with Roman Reigns isn't that they've shoved him down our throats, and they're not even doing that now. I mean, he's just winning matches by DQ or count out or, you know, whatever it is. He's not just destroying people and all over the show. It's nothing like that. It's just word got out that he was their guy. And that made people look at him through a microscope. You know, people were looking at him through a different lens. And really, and once that happened, I just don't think that people have really backed off. They just look at him now and they're dissecting him and looking at the flaws. And I don't think he's going to be ready. Listen to this crowd reaction. If it had come out that it was somebody else that was the chosen one going into WrestleMania season, I think there'd be a lot. It wouldn't be Reigns should be the guy, but I think there would be a lot more. What are they doing with Reigns, man? They got to do a better job. They got to protect this guy. He's got a real future here. And just because word got out that he was going to be the guy heading into Mania season, it's just really it's gone in a different direction for him. It's unfortunate. Let's keep rolling through these phone calls here. We are going to 443. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is John from Baltimore.
John from Baltimore, what's going on?
Yes, well, I watched the Wrestle Kingdom pay-per-view last night.
Yeah.
I was very, very impressed. I've kept up with Japan here and there. I've seen a little bit of Hiroshi Tanahashi's work, Okada, obviously, from TNA, and, of course, AJ Styles. But I got to say, like, the quality was so much better. And, like, watching Raw tonight, and I knew this watching last night, I said, it's going to be, like, back to normal, you know, business as usual when I watch Raw, and it sucks that we don't get Japan here in America. Do you think that maybe Global Force Wrestling could come up with some kind of deal where they could, I don't know, maybe be, like, something like a global NWA where they would show promotions on television on a regular basis? So that we can have a fix to fill the void that WWE doesn't provide?
Well, I've interviewed Jeff Jarrett, and I've interviewed Scott D'Amore, and you can find both of those on blogtalkradio.com/prowrestlingdotnet. Those two interviews leading up to the event, and ask them both, what is Global Force Wrestling? And as expected, there was no firm explanation for what the hell this is going to be. And I think what it all comes down to, this is just my guess, is getting a television slot. So whatever it's going to be, whether it's a startup promotion, whether it's something like you're saying, it all starts with them getting television or finding a different method, you know, a Netflix or somebody to jump on board with them. I would say your best bet in the meantime is you have a couple of different options, really. Because coming up here in mid-January, I don't have the date in front of me, but I think it's AXS Network is going to be airing New Japan Pro Wrestling. Now, it's not first-run material, but it's with Mauro Ranallo and Josh Barnett calling older matches, and so that's something, and I'm guessing there's going to be some I would hope there's going to be some emphasis on what's going on today, but also New Japan World. I mean, have you looked into that yet? It doesn't have the English commentary, but it's just like WWE Network, and you can get that here in the United States.
Yeah, I've seen it, but I guess that's kind of thrown me off with the lack of English commentary and the Japanese writing. It's kind of hard to understand, obviously. But I do like the passion that the announcers, to their credit, when I hear the Japanese announcers, I do like the passion they show. And I feel like that's something also that lacks from the current day product is the commentary here in America. I think it's terrible. It distracts you from the matches. And I look at past footage on the WWE Network, and I just remember how, you know, Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan, they were passionate about what they were watching. Jim Ross, Jerry Lawler, in their prime, you know, passionate about what they were watching. Today, it's like Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler. I'm no disrespect to Jerry Lawler. I know it's Vince McMahon's fault, but him, JBL as well. It's like it doesn't feel natural. It feels so forced. And it makes, I hate to use this word, it makes wrestling look faker than it already is. Do you have any input on the commentary?
Oh, yeah, it's terrible. In WWE, it's awful. And Vince McMahon wants this to be some sort of wacky variety show. He doesn't want them calling the actual matches. He wants them to be talking and having a good time, and they're all about fun, and it's all just it's terrible. It stood out last week when Big Show was on commentary, a novice at it, and he's actually responding to the moves, which seems like the simplest thing in the world. It stood out in a good way. It was like, my God, someone is actually, you know, making it seem like these moves matter, that these guys are doing in the ring. They're not, you know, joking around about Total Divas or something. It's a real problem there. But it's Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn's vision for what the broadcast team should be doing. I think it's as phony at times and as insincere as a bad, wacky morning radio show where, you know, it's just they're all, you know, happy-go-lucky all the time, and it just makes for a bad radio experience. And I think when it comes to WWE, they're a real part of the problem. Michael Cole doesn't have credibility the way that Jim Ross did. And, you know, that's tough. I mean, Jim Ross was there for a long period of time, but Michael Cole's been there a long time now, too. And he just doesn't have that credibility. And I'm not saying that he should have every ounce that JR had. You know, that's earned. And JR's special.
That's a lot to live up to.
It is, but he has none. You know, when Michael Cole stands there and tries to sell people on ordering WWE Network, I don't think of him as a good salesman. He's just a goofball, especially tonight when he's out there in that Vince McMahon Winter Collection plaid suit. I'm not exactly Mr. Blackwell when it comes to attire, but my God, is it just me on that? I just see these plaid suits, and I know they're not the only ones wearing them, and I'm just like, God, what is, like, my grandpa dressing these people?
Well, Jerry the King Lawler actually dresses better than Michael Cole. I have to give him that.
He does. And the funny thing is, I don't know if it's still this way, but several years ago, Michael Cole was actually dressed like some Eminem wannabe after the show. I don't think this is actually what Michael Cole wants to look like. Now, years have passed. Maybe he's matured a little bit. But, yeah, it's I just a plaid suit. Like, only Vince can wear that kind of stuff. I don't know if Vince is now dressing him, if he's dressing to impress Vince McMahon, what the hell it is. But that's the least of their problems. It really just does go back to these guys are clowning around because they're instructed to. JBL isn't calling the show the way he would want to hear it or that he thinks the audience would want to hear it. He's calling it the way his boss wants to hear it because he's trying to make his boss laugh.
In both their defenses, though, do you remember back when Cole and JBL used to commentate on SmackDown? I was in high school.
Yeah.
I can remember that I was like, wow, you know, JBL is really a good commentator. And to me, it made, I think Michael Cole's best time as a commentator was when he was commentating with Taz and with JBL both on SmackDown. And it was like once he got over to Raw, that was when the commentary just started to get worse and worse. And a lot of people were excited. They said, oh, him and King are together. It'll be just like that period in the Attitude Era when JR was gone. And it did not sound like that.
No, you're absolutely right. I do have to cut you off just because we're down to 17 minutes and we've still got four people lined up on hold. But really quick on that, so much – now, you're talking about a couple of different runs there with Cole and different broadcast partners, but Paul Heyman was responsible for a lot of that, and he used to have those guys call the show at the building and then come in and do overdubs. I mean, it was Paul Heyman, when he was in charge of SmackDown, was a real stickler for the commentary, and it showed in a positive way, and so that was the best work. I'm not even impressed by Taz as a color guy anymore. I when TNA got him, I thought it was a really good move on their part, and then he just kind of settled in as this wacky guy you're watching wrestling with in the room, and I don't think he does that product any favors when he's not really into it. I mean, every once in a while you'll see glimpses of the good Taz where there's something that catches his eye in a match that he gets caught up in, but it's just not enough. There's just way too much of the cornball Taz, and it's a widespread problem, unfortunately, in North American wrestling when it comes to these bad commentary teams. I actually enjoy Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino. See, I think Steve Corino, I mean, he can do some of the comedy stuff, but it actually works. Steve Corino's funnier than all these guys trying to ham it up for Vince McMahon. 602, you're up. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Marco calling from Glendale, Arizona. How's it going?
Was it Michael?
Marco.
Marco, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Two things to catch up on. First, I want to say thank you guys. To you guys, I don't have to watch Raw, so I can just read the spoilers. It saves me a bunch. So thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right. Secondly, a few things. I was watching the network, and I don't know if you got the rivalry special that they had on the Hardys and Edge and Christian. But one thing that caught my eye there was how they were saying, you know, in that time that they brought up, you know, in the Attitude Era, you know, they were already stars and they had to find a place where they could, you know, outshine and still be relevant to the show. And that got me thinking that that would be a great way to introduce NXT talent to the main roster. You can even, you know, with the report that Sami Zayn is going to stay down there and feud with Kevin Owens, why not bring those guys up together as a tag team? And, you know, they already have that chemistry.
I think Zayn is ready for prime time. Kevin Owens, it's nothing against him. He just got there. And there really is, there's a learning process when it comes to the WWE way. I'm not saying, you know, some of it's the in-ring style. But a lot of it is it's something that Triple H mentioned in one of the conference calls that he did. I believe it was Prince Devitt, who's, you know, considered just a world-class worker. One of the things I think Devitt told him was that just, you know, the different things they want you to do when it comes to where you stand after the match or which camera's going to be on you. Those are things that Kevin Owens still has to learn. And I think, believe it or not, I think it's better that he learns them in NXT than on the fly on the main roster, where that could be an issue that pops up and maybe he makes a mistake and Vince suddenly loses faith in him. So I'm okay with him being down there and learning the ropes right now, but I hope it's not a long stay, because I'm with you. I think you could do something with those guys on the main roster. Just give it a little bit of time. They're probably going to give it longer than you and I both want, though.
Exactly. Then the other thing, you know, I was touching on, you know, with Seth Rollins being added and now having that possibility of him cashing in and being the champion going into WrestleMania, who does that really leave open to win the Royal Rumble? Does that change now to go to a Roman Reigns and kind of refuel that, you know, feud that they had? Or does that make that better for Bryan to, you know, actually, you know, because he's always been seen as that smaller guy. Maybe WWE feels like it would be a more realistic match against Rollins than against Lesnar.
Cool, man. Good question. I'm going to put you back on hold. It's my firm belief is that the guy to go with at WrestleMania, to win the Rumble and go on to WrestleMania, is Daniel Bryan. And I would have it against Brock Lesnar. They may feel strongly otherwise if Brock's not coming back. They may not want him in the main event with their world title because they're fearful that word would leak out. I don't even, if it's Daniel Bryan, Brock Lesnar, I don't even think it matters, especially if you keep the suspense of the Money in the Bank briefcase alive. I just think people would really get into Brock Lesnar and Daniel Bryan for the first time. So that's what I do. But as we saw last year, ultimately they did the right thing, but Vince McMahon can be very stubborn. So could it still be Reigns despite the shoddy way that they're booking him? I'm not seeing a pattern here for the way they're really building him up. Maybe it'll kick in with a Rumble win or something. But, I would hope not. I don't think that's the right move for WWE or for Roman Reigns. I'm not a Roman Reigns hater by any means, but I just don't feel like this is his year. And I think you run the risk of people really turning on him. It's going to start kind of like it did for Batista with the hardcore fan, and it's just going to, I think, trickle down. And I don't think it's a good idea to do that to Roman Reigns. We're going to keep going through the calls here. We have 12 minutes left in the show, so I'm going to try to limit you guys to one. If it's a couple quick questions, that's fine, but otherwise just one question. 703, you're up. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Jay from Virginia.
Cool, Jay. What's up?
Hi, I was just a couple quick TNA questions.
Yeah.
Finally, I guess they see that Robbie E could be a decent mid-card face. I see he posted one of his videos today working out in the gym and his motivation to be a Triple Crown winner. I think it would be an easy feud for him and Jesse, two guys that need to break up from the bromance and have a good singles feud.
Okay, what's your other one?
Also, the second thing is, what's his name? Oh. I got to go. I'll go answer that first question. Yeah, my phone's breaking up.
All right, no problem. Give us a call next week. I'll definitely take that one right now, though. Robbie E. I mean, I question whether they would be doing this for him if it wasn't for his appearance on The Amazing Race. But I liked what I saw there, where it's not Robbie, hey bro, E. You know, I just think that, I mean, they were doing a Jersey Shore knockoff, and Jersey Shore people have moved on from it. WWE did it first with Zack Ryder. It's just, it was a fine undercard gimmick, but it ran its course, and so now I think it's time to do more, and I've thought this for a while. It's time to either take a different approach with those guys as a tag team, where it's not all bro this and bro that, which just really limits them. If they want to try to do more with Robbie E now that he's been on this reality show, that's cool. As far as feuding the two of them, I'd make that pretty quick if you have plans for Robbie. I just don't know what you can really get out of a long-term program. I mean, there's some times when a tag team breaks up, it makes perfect sense to feud them against one another, and there's other times where it's just like, nah, people really don't have that much interest in seeing it. So we'll see. I mean, that might be what the initial program for him is to break away from Jesse and have some sort of a feud there. But I would hope it's not a long-term one. But we'll see what they have in mind. Up next is 917. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, how are you? This is Damon from the Bronx.
Hey, Damon from the Bronx. What's up?
I got a question. I don't know if I missed it, but whatever happened to the rule with the WWE that you had to defend your title within 30 days or it became vacant?
Oh, this one's very simple. They make it up as they go along. You know, if they want to, if somebody gets hurt and they want to use that, they will. And then if they have a situation with Brock Lesnar, they'll conveniently forget it. It really is that simple.
All right. I was just curious. Now, I mean, I follow along, and I think it's a joke that they want to use it and they don't want to use it. But, all right, thanks for your time.
Hey, no problem. Good to hear from you. Wow, that was short and sweet. Let's go to 347. Who are you? Where are you calling from? 347, are you there? 347 going once, going twice, 347 gone. All right, up we have 678 and 212 still to go. We have eight and a half minutes left in the show. Let's see how quickly we can get through these. 678, you're up.
Hello?
Hey, 678, who are you? Where are you calling from?
This is Ryan D. coming from Atlanta, Georgia.
Cool, man. What's going on?
I just finished watching my Monday Night Raw.
I'm sorry.
I've seen them coming off at a bad start.
Say the last part again.
See, I watched Monday Night Raw, and I'm seeing the show coming off to a very bad end.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's been the major topic of conversation tonight. I don't know when you tuned in, but, yeah, you're not alone in that assessment of this particular episode.
You see, it all started back 2 years after Triple H got hit by Brock Lesnar. See, all these things, it's starting to get a lot crazy when the authority is in power or not. But
you'll get no argument for me, man.
So many things with the authority is now just going a bit too far. So now people want to see someone try to step up, like what Vince McMahon said on his podcast with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Because if I want to see anyone trying to step up to the authority, I want to see either Sting or The Rock. Because they said something on the anniversary of SmackDown about The Rock wanting to go one-on-one with Triple H one more time.
Right.
But if I do want to see The Rock and Triple H go one more time, I'll like, hell with it, let them do what they have to do.
Well, cool, man. I appreciate you calling. I'll say this much. You know, when it comes to I'm fine with Rock facing Triple H at WrestleMania if they get there. The problem is I don't want to see Rock be the guy that stands up for this generation. Sting's a hard enough – it's tough enough with Sting to do it. Maybe there's a way. I mean, it's just – I think someone from this generation needs to be that guy. I mean, Steve Austin didn't need someone from, you know, Hulk Hogan to step in for him. And so Steve Austin wouldn't have just stood there like those guys did tonight when they were fired, or even when they were threatening suspension. You know, it's just this current era of WWE stars are made out to just look like goofs. that are just subservient to the authority, that stand there and take it. They all come out and stand there in the ring while they sit, they get talked down to, or they stand on the stage and they get talked down to. That's just, it's awful. You're just emasculating these wrestlers. That's not what people want to see from pro wrestlers. They want to see Steve Austin type, somebody that stands up for themselves, not just stands there and takes it. Oh, what am I going to do? I've got to listen to the authority. No one wants that. That's not what we watch wrestling for. Terrible idea. 212, you're up next. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Corey from New York.
Corey, what's going on, man?
I haven't watched Raw yet because work, but listening to some of the people, welcome back to, I guess, you know, the Monday night therapy sessions.
Yeah.
Do you think that a lot of, because it sounds like a lot of people did watch, do you think that people are more disappointed because they saw such a great presentation with Wrestle Kingdom 9 that it's kind of, you saw something that was done so well, people being shown as real characters, things, you know, a true storyteller in Jim Ross, all the things that were done right, and then you see what was done tonight, that there's an even more of an anger where they were almost going on such a high of such a good product that this was such a letdown, or was it that bad of a show? Because I said I haven't seen it yet, but I'm just trying to get an idea there, first of all.
I mean, I heard from people tonight who definitely saw Wrestle Kingdom, and but at the same time, no, this was a bad show. You know, this, whether you saw that pay-per-view or you didn't even know it existed and you only watch Raw, I think most people are going to come away going, wow, this was a really, really bad show. But like you're saying, if you saw Wrestle Kingdom and that's your vision for how you want pro wrestling, and then you come back on Monday and it's the first show of the year and you're thinking, well, the authority might be back, but let's see what they do, this, 'cause it's still the first show of the year. They got to do something cool, right? And you get what you had tonight. Yikes. Corey, I was actually going to tell you, had you not mentioned that you'd seen Wrestle Kingdom, well, skip Raw and order that show. I've already told, you know, somebody else that tonight, if you're disappointed with WWE, go that route. But you've already seen it, and so I guess, I don't know, catch up on Total Divas. Yes, it was that bad. Catch up on Total Divas rather than watch this Raw.
Yeah, actually, for the first time, I actually saw Total Divas on Sunday because I think I was jonesing for something football-related, and I was flipping channels, and I saw it by accident. And I think another caller mentioned, you know, with this whole Natty Neidhart thing. I know you haven't seen it yet, but it was something that I'd like to get your opinion on. There was whole entire idea this episode was the fact that, like I said, she had a pot brownie, and you're having all these WWE guys at the party, Wade Barrett's, the Fandangos. Do you think that's a bad precedent to set with the idea that you're having this PG product and you're having your athletes or superstars, whatever they're calling them, possibly, you know, at a party with drugs and making jokes about this was a drug party and stuff like that? Do you think that could be something that comes back to haunt them, or do you think it's the E! Network and it's, you know, it's a silly diva show that no one's going to really care about?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to come back to haunt them, but if I were in their shoes, would I do it? No. I mean, I would lighten up the restrictions a little bit. I'd be more PG-13, which they tend to be at WrestleMania season anyway. Pot certainly becoming more accepted in the world with certain states now legalizing and everything. But last time I checked, it's still a finable offense. It's not a wellness policy violation in terms of being a strike, but it's still a finable offense. And, yeah, I don't think I would, without having seen it, I don't think I would have gone there if I were in their shoes. I think they want, you know, they want Total Divas to be, like, in its own universe, and then every once in a while they kind of try to mix those two universes, and it's always clunky anyway. But, yeah, it sounds like I need to go out of my way to see this episode, even though I'm 9 episodes behind. Maybe I'll just break the order and catch a replay of this.
Yeah, it was something to watch, like I said. It was definitely, I guess, I had never seen Total Divas before, and I just saw it by accident. But thank you, Jason, as always, for the great work, and catching with you again next week.
It sounds great. Great to hear from you. We have 1 minute and 35 seconds left. We still have people on hold. Man, oh man, oh man. People have been calling in tonight. We're going to go to, we're going to try to get one more call in here. Let me see who's on the line that I haven't gotten to. Let's try 347. You tried earlier and I don't think we got to you. Are you there this time? If so, make it quick.
Hello. This is Chris from New York.
Make it quick, Chris.
Oh, my question is about AJ Lee. When her contract comes up for renewal, do you see WWE just lowballing her and getting rid of her? Because from some standpoint, it must irk them that they're actually putting money into CM Punk's wife
All right, good question to close it out on. I mean, I don't know what the dynamic between in that relationship is. I mean, it seems like they've been able to do business. I think if it was that much of a problem, they would have just sent her home before, you know, and like, hey, well, we'll pay your downside to stay home for the rest of your time. So the fact that they haven't done that, I mean, it's a little bit different now that Punk's gone public with some of the things. But they could have taken a different approach to it before, and they didn't. So I would think I'd find that to be very petty. If she still wants to have a wrestling career and they're on good terms, then I would hope that they, I mean, they can be a petty company at times, but so far, so good as far as the way they've dealt with her, in my opinion, and hopefully it stays that way. That's going to do it for tonight. Thank you, everybody. My God, I'm sorry if we didn't get to everybody on the phone lines. It was tons of callers. Great support. I really appreciate it. We'll be back here 10:30 Central, 11:30 Eastern every Monday. Until then, take care.